This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وأطهر المرسلين شفيع المذنبين وحبيب رب العالمين محمد صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We bear witness that no one is worthy of worship but Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indeed his final messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make us of those who listen to the best of speech, the book of Allah, and follow the best of guidance, the guidance of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I begin by greeting my brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and the blessings and the mercy of Allah be upon you, be upon your families. Like also to start by praying for the people who have put this conference together, the volunteers who are working outside Zamal Khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them best. And I think that as our topic is about justice, it is very appropriate that we begin this evening by commending, acknowledging, congratulating, and complimenting the people of Tunisia and the people of Egypt. That is very important. Because what has happened is these people have inspired us. They have revived hope in us. That when people get up, when people truly stand up, they are unstoppable. And for this, appreciate and pray for the people of Tunisia, the people of Egypt, and definitely before that, the people of Gaza who taught us what it means to stand up. And like Sheikh Hassan said earlier, keeping also in our prayers other people who are standing up for justice, be it the people of Libya, the people of Yemen, be it the people in Ecuador, be it wherever they may be, if people are oppressed, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the strength to stand up. Ya Rabbil Alameen. And it is no coincidence that the most repeated story in the Quran is the story of Musa alayhi salam. A figure like Fir'aun is mentioned 73 times in the Quran, in 72 different surahs, mostly Meccan surahs. Because Fir'aun is not just a historical figure, Fir'aun is an everyday figure. But people need to look into the teachings and actions of Musa alayhi salam so that we are able to stand up for all the pharaohs who may come our way. And without justice, we cannot really have a civilization or a civilized society. That is why the Quran, in its approach to talking about justice, the Quran takes a very unique style in talking about it. For example, the Quran begins introducing justice as one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah himself, one of his attributes, is that he is just. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو الملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط. Allah bears witness. The angels bear witness. Those who are endowed with knowledge and insight, they all bear witness that Allah stands firmly for justice. يا عبادي إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي. O my servant, I have declared it illegal upon myself that I be unjust to you. وجعلته بينكم محرما. And I have declared it illegal amongst yourself. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Therefore, do not oppress one another. Oppression is wicked. Oppression is evil. Oppression destroys societies. Oppression destroys families as well. But keep in mind that when we speak about oppression, political oppression is only one kind of oppression. Domestic violence is a kind of oppression. Elder abuse is a kind of oppression. Child abuse is a kind of oppression. Police brutality is a kind of oppression. So when we speak of oppression, don't just go to the pharaohs up there. Like Napoleon said that most of the people who despise oppression, if they get the chance, they themselves will be the oppressors. The people who despise oppression, if they get the chance, they themselves will end up oppressing other people. So when we speak of oppression, we're not talking just this limited political oppression. We're talking about all kinds of oppression. Police brutality. Public Enemy had a song. And don't ask me how do I know this. They have a song back in the 1980s when rap music first started. You know, rap music back then actually had a vision. It had a style unlike what we see nowadays. So Public Enemy, one of the reasons why they were singing, their lyrics had to do with police brutality. And in one of their songs, they would say, talking to the police officers, they said, "You protect us from the criminals, but who's going to protect us from you?" You go to the police for protection, but what happens when the police are the thugs? What happens when the police are the gangsters? Where do you go at that point? So oppression creates chaos, resentment, anger, discontentment. So Allah begins by saying, "People, I have made it illegal upon..." It is so bad that I have declared it illegal upon myself, and I am declaring it to be illegal amongst you people. When the companions came from Abyssinia, from Habasha, that's my hometown by the way, the Prophet, peace be upon him, gathered his companions. And he said, "You know, why don't you tell me about the amazing, strange things that you have seen in Habasha, in that part of the world?" And this companion said, "O Prophet of Allah, one day I was sitting and I saw this incident. An old woman that was carrying her belongings on her head. And she was struggling with it and she was walking by. When a young man riding a horse came next to her, and for the sake of fun, he tipped over whatever it is that she was carrying. She fell down, and everything that she was carrying fell down as well. And he was laughing. She got up, and she looked at him, and she said, 'Ya Lukka,' سَتَعْلَمُ غَدًا إِذَا جَلَسَ الْمَلِكُ عَلَى كُرْسِيِّهِ فَيَأْخُذُ لِلْمَظْلُومِ مِنَ الظَّالِمِ." She said, "Oh, you jerk! Tomorrow when the Almighty sits on his throne to avenge the oppressed from the oppressor, you will see what will happen between us." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so moved by the statement of that woman. And he said, "La quddisat ummah." He said that no society can ever grow, can ever nourish, can ever come up. لا يأخذ فيها الضعيف حقه من القوي غير متعتع. Said that no society can flourish when the weak amongst them are too afraid of asking for any of their rights from the elites. Said that society will not flourish. And this is what we see nowadays. A lot of elites who are in charge of the affairs of the masses, where the masses have no say, they are led by these self-serving interest elites who are absolutely good for nothing but spreading corruption. Such a society is not worthy of taqdis. It's not worthy of nourishment, flourishment, or coming up. Second style that the Quran takes is, the Quran emphasizes that one of the reasons why Allah sent messengers Is that so that people would uphold justice? لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب ليقوم الناس بالقسط. So that we have sent our messengers with clear signs and the book so that people may uphold justice. Why did Allah send Musa alayhi salam so that people may learn about justice? Why did Allah send Isa, Muhammad, Joseph, Jacob, any of the messengers? So that people may uphold justice. Because justice, you know, when people speak about liberty and justice and the pursuit of happiness, Islamically speaking, there is nothing wrong with these statements. But what happens is, these statements sound very good. And it's not in the sound of the statement where goodness is. Goodness truly is in the application of that statement. So the Quran does not look for these flowery statements, self-congratulatory statements that societies make about themselves, but rather it looks into the application of what it is that these societies make out of what is being sent. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent so that people may uphold justice. Anytime there is injustice, Islam cannot be there. Misunderstanding of what we think Islam is. But anytime injustice exists, it can never be done in the name of Islam. But remember this, my brothers and sisters, that in order for us to exploit, which is a major disease that is taking place nowadays in the world, with all the foreign debts that, you know, third world countries have, and there is a great book out there I would really, really love for you to read, written by a man named John Perkins, Confessions of an Ex-Economic Hitman, where his job was to get third world countries in debts that they knew that they cannot afford to pay back. And what you do at that point is that you get a hold of people, because now they are under your control. They cannot afford the debts, so they start making concessions. And that is why, subhanallah, in the hadith that is reported by Tabarani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, أَقِلَّ مِنَ الدَّيْنِ تَعِشْ حُرَّ. Borrow less, you live a free man. You know, nowadays with the plastic money that we have, just go left and right, we buy stuff. I love that definition of the credit card, when somebody said a credit card is nothing but a tool by which we buy things we don't need, with money we don't have, at a price we can't afford, to impress people we don't even like. Okay. So this idea about exploiting people, and you can be very civilized about it, you know, very slick about it, and but by the end of the day, it really is injustice, no matter what we call it. Third style that the Quran uses, Quran emphasizes that justice is an absolute value. Let me explain. Absolute value means that there is no example where it is okay not to render that value. For example, being truthful, never lying, that is a value, but it is not necessarily an absolute value, because there are remote conditions where lying might be okay. But when it comes to justice, the Quran affirms that justice is an absolute value. There is never an exception to it. See, what happens is that when things are good, you know, as they say, being good to those who are good to you does not make you good. Laughing when you're tickled does not make you funny or a fun person. All of that does not make you that. Being just when everything is okay does not make you just. Truly, our justice is tested in two circumstances. When we are moved by emotions and motives, either the emotion of hate or the motive of love. So Allah said, wait a minute. You uphold justice no matter what. Even if it be in favor of your enemies, you uphold justice. You uphold justice, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, even if it be against your own self, because justice is an absolute value. You uphold justice even if it is not in the benefit of those who are closest to you, be they their family members, your loved ones, your the cronies who hang around, none of that. Justice is an absolute value. It must be rendered even if it be in the benefit of your enemies. You render justice. Justice is an absolute value. And then, believers are called to it. Believers are invited in the Quran, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O ye who believe. And the minute you hear that, it means pay attention. If you claim to be one of them, then you better pay attention to what happens next. What is going next? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. He said, stand up for justice. شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ. As witnesses for Allah. Stand up for justice. The believers are invited. Sometimes we are guilty of what we call group selfishness. Because selfishness may just be something that concerns me, especially in this culture that we are living in. There is a great book I think you will enjoy out there. It's called The Epidemic of Narcissism. And that is said that the way that the culture is nowadays, it is just breeding and growing a lot of people who are narcissistic. People who are self-centered. They only care about me, myself, and I. So what happens is, now there is this idea of group selfishness. As a group, as long as, look, it doesn't have to do anything with the Muslims, then alhamdulillah, it's none of our business. That is not acceptable, my brothers and sisters. That is not acceptable. And we have a tendency to do that. Police brutality, African Americans have been suffering from police brutality and nobody spoke about it. Because we think that, look, as long as it's not us, that's fine. Mexican Americans, people from Haiti have been suffering from discrimination when it comes to immigration. Look, as long as it's not us, we really don't care. But now the minute you see that, you know, the Muslims are the ones who are suffering from this, now we are all up in arms, and how come this and how come that? No, how come we did not speak up when other people were suffering from it, is really the question. So when Allah invites the believers, it does not say stand up for justice when it's in the benefit of the believers. No, it's stand up for justice, period. Wherever it is happening, stand up for justice. But then see, brothers and sisters, we can talk all these sweet things about justice and what the Quran said about justice, but it will be very difficult to continue on without really defining what justice is. It was beautifully defined by a theologian by the name of Al-Farabi. And Farabi argued that justice is the ethics of sharing. It is the ethics of sharing. And he argues that no good is good if it's only good for you. The goodest of goods, the best of goods are shared goods. What good is your health if people around you are not healthy? It further enhances your health that the people around you be healthy. So it's not good to just be healthy yourself. It enhances your own health that you make sure that the people around you are healthy. What good is your freedom to express yourself? Share your ideas. If the people around you cannot express themselves, or share their ideas. Because when people talk and share their ideas broaden our horizon, increases our understanding, deepens the depth of our wisdom and intellectual ability. We are intellectually tickled when we hear other people's ideas. So he said, no good is good if it's only good for you. What good is your wealth if people around you do not have wealth to be sharing with you? Because we have all got this erroneous mentality that says, in order for me to win, somebody else has to lose. In order for me to gain, somebody else has to lose. And that is a sick mentality. So he said that it is really the ethics of sharing. And very quickly, what are we supposed to share? It is emphasized that we have to share five things. Sharing them would lead into the implementation of justice. Number one, we have to share status. Social status. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we all have to be first-class citizens or this. No. What we mean by social status is that the acknowledgement that every human being is the holder of human dignity and integrity unconditionally. Brothers and sisters, this is very deep. To actually develop the understanding that every single human being is unconditionally, he is inherently, by the mere fact that he is a human being, he is immediately a holder of human dignity and integrity. The Quran says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have indeed honored all the children of Adam, no exception. And when we say no exception, no exception. Allah did not only honor the Muslims or the Arabs or the men or the whites or the rich or the young or the old. Or Allah honored all the children of Adam. Honored all the children of Adam, absolutely no exception. The people that you hate most, they've been honored by Allah. You hate their deeds, you hate what they do, but never forget, if the title Bani Adam, a child of Adam, applies to them, then they are immediately holders of human dignity and integrity. And subhanAllah, because of this, you know, the Quran does not appreciate this whole idea of the original sin. And the original sin is believed, you know, in non-Muslims' beliefs, theology, the original sin resides in the being of the individual. There is nothing that you can do to get rid of that original sin. And that is why you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order for you to get rid of that original sin. And Islam says, wait a minute. Number one, sins are not inherited. They can only be committed by the individual. Number two, this is really beautiful. Islam says that sins do not taint our being. Sins taint our character. Our character is of our own choosing, but our being is from Allah, and that being from Allah is always pure. This is beautiful. This is our deen. And Allah to be taught. Look, man, Muslims, non-Muslims, every human being, قَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. And that's why we hear this beautiful story, Ali ibn Abi Talib. Here's somebody, you know, verbally abusing somebody else. And Ali was just, really just annoyed by the verbal abuse that was taking place. So Ali spoke to him and he said, يَا هَذَا إِنَّهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا فَإِنَّهُ نَظِيرُكَ فِي الْخَلْقِ. He said, my brother, he may not be a Muslim, but he is your equal in humanity. He is your equal in humanity. When it comes to that, nobody is superior or inferior to anybody else. So we have to share status. Not look down upon women, not look down upon those who have got different pigmentations from us or because they have less money than we do. And this is where we really need to be honest, my brothers and sisters. Within our Muslim culture, some of us are sexist. Some of us are racist. And we have to acknowledge this. Not that we approve of it, but we say, look man, this is in our society and it really does not belong there. People go to Hajj and they come back. Say, ask them, how was Hajj? Man, Hajj was tight. I saw people from all walks of life. I saw black people, red people, you know, yellow people, green people. And they come back and they're still racist. They go there, appear like we were all celebrating our diversity. You go as a racist, you come back and you're still a racist. And then you come back, man, Hajj was tight. Not your Hajj. Or people would go, so what was the most difficult? Man, going between Safa and Marwa, man, that was tough, man. It took the longest time, it was the most tiring. So your Hajj was the commemoration of something that a woman did. It was the most tiring for you. It was the most difficult, and it was most time consuming. You were sexist before you went to Hajj. You went there, and the most difficult part was imitating a woman. You come back, and you're still sexist. Then you say, man, Hajj was tight. So this idea of sharing status. And subhanAllah, that is why, before we exploit people, what we have to do is that we have to dehumanize them. See, we human beings are funny people. We're all people. That's very redundant. But we humans can be very funny sometimes. In order for us to, when we are exploiting other people, there's got to be some process that we have to take. And we have to do something about this status. We have to make sure that these people do not share status with us. So what we do is that we dehumanize them. We deem them to be less humans than we are. And the easiest thing to do to dehumanize people is to give them a label. Put a label on them. Call them niggers. And that is the end of the story. Call them Gentiles. That's the end of the story. Call them infidels. That's the end of the story. Call them kafirs. And that's the end of the story. So you take this label, you dehumanize the people, and then you make it morally okay for you to exploit the people. When Europeans first came to North America, Howard Zinn tells this story in his book. He said that a group of, you know, Europeans were discussing amongst themselves. Because when they came in, they had to deal with it was okay for them to kill the Indians or the natives. But then they had a problem with the children. They were not sure what to do with the children. Because they were arguing, do these children have do they have a soul or do they not have a soul? And they finally said that they do have a soul. So they must be worthy of baptism. So they have got to be baptized. And the argument was, should we baptize them or not baptize them? So they finally decided that they were going to hold the babies with their feet, dip them in the water, baptize them, take them, throw them against the wall or throw them against the tree and kill them. But at least we baptize them before we kill them. A process of dehumanization. You deem them to be less humans than you are. That is why they said, the West does not have a problem with human rights violations. I don't believe that. The West, mashallah, they're very good when it comes to human rights violations. The problem is not with their human rights violations. The problem is in whom they define to be human. Once you are admitted to be human, then you cannot be violated. But the problem is, do you really see me as your equal? So in order for us to truly uphold justice, this idea must really be ingrained in us that every single human being is always a holder of human dignity and integrity, brothers and sisters, no exception. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. There is no exception. Second thing that we have to share is that we have to share wealth. If you believe that I am a holder of human dignity and integrity, you must work in providing me a life that really reflects your belief that I am a holder of human dignity and integrity. Wealth, money. Money talks, money kills. Money, man. People were just after money, left and right. All wars are economic, motivated by greed, the idea of increasing my share at the expense of somebody else's share. That's what's leading to wickedness. When people can sit on piles of gold and other people are dying. Remember, this speech was delivered by somebody. He came in. He said, by the way, every three seconds, there is a baby dying in the world because of starvation or starvation-related diseases. And then what that person did was he went like that. A baby died. Well, let's do it again. Another baby died. Well, this is how quick it's happening. By the time that we are done, many babies that need not to die will be dying. Not because there isn't enough for us, but there is so much greed that is going on that it leaves very little for the rest of us. How do we explain that the US hosting 5% of the total population of the world, yet spending 50% of what other people spend on military equipment? How do you make sense of that? How do you make sense of that? Why is it that 20% of the people of the world enjoy 86% of the resources of the world? I was watching TV last night. I was watching the news about poverty in Egypt. And they said that some people who sell fruits, the guy who is selling the fruits cannot even afford to taste his own fruit because it's that expensive. Wallahi, some people in the Philippines, They grow fruits. They themselves, the guy is putting his sweat and day and time and effort and labor in it. They cannot take some of that fruit to their own families. Because what has happened is that a group of elites, corporations, the Halliburtons, the Pactels, all these big corporations, they've decided that they want to make more money at the expense of the little people. So wealth must be shared. Number three, power has to be shared. Having a say in your destiny, having your voice be heard. What good is it that you believe that I am a holder of human dignity and integrity, but I have to keep my mouth shut? What good is it? The people who are revolting nowadays in Egypt, in Libya, in Algeria, in all these places, what is it that they're saying? Yeah, some of them are revolting because just the oppression, man. Why would you be ruling for so long? What makes you so unique, so different, so special? That you think that there is nobody else to do what you're doing. But subhanallah, subhanallah, you know what they say, that if you look into the psychology of Fir'aun in the Quran, one thing that you will see very clear about him is the narcissism in this person. That these people are just so self-centered, so big, admiring their own selves. When he says, "Ana rabbukum al-a'la," I am indeed the highest deity that you have. I am your Lord, he would say. "La urikum illa ma ara." I only want you to see what I see. And you know, when you look into the story of somebody like Zain al-Abidin, because see, dictators never learn. Dictators, the one that passed away, the ones that will inshallah pass away, inshallah, inshallah, very soon in our lifetime, ya Rabbal Alameen. Say Ameen, don't laugh, say Ameen. We want them gone. Okay? This man, they've seen Ceausescu before them, didn't learn. They saw Carlos, they did not learn. They saw Noriega, they did not learn. They see all these people around them and they don't get it. It was, subhanAllah, Zain al-Abidin, the guy from Tunisia, you know, he's been serving his masters in France for so long. His plane takes off and he goes, "Can I land?" "No, you can't. You're too toxic. Nobody wants to come close to you." The guy kept begging. He's up, suspended up there. He's begging, "Can I please land?" And people said, "No." One place, he was running out of gas. They said, "Well, you can come in, get gas and, you know, get out." This is the guy that thought that he had it all. Now this idea of power, they love this, you know, power and the ability to control everything, everything. People are their dreams, their aspirations. That is wicked. Four, we have to share environment. Look man, this whole planet Earth belongs to all of us. It's all of us. Yes, we may be ethnically related to one place, geographically being born in one place, but by the end of the day, it is all ours. That we love it and we be loved by it. Love that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna hadhihi al-ard ummukum farhamuha." That this earth is your mother, be good to it. And that leads us into that final point, and that is sharing responsibility. We cannot just expect others to do without us wanting to participate, wanting to contribute. And what better ways, means of contributing than contributing to the encouragement of justice? We want to do that, brothers and sisters. Let us make sure that wherever justice is, that we take an active role in participating in that, encouraging justice, maximizing justice. Please do so. Let us volunteer. Let us donate blood. Volunteer at the soup kitchens. Volunteer at the homeless shelters. Let's just be the big brother. Be the big brother. Maybe you can tutor. Maybe you can help recent immigrants who come to this country and they have no means of getting around. That is all part of facilitating for justice. That is how we manifest that we really believe that everybody around me is a holder of human dignity and integrity. That is how we do it. Let me tell you, inshallah, in conclusion, what the people of Egypt have taught me and taught all of us. Number one, Pharaoh appears very strong. The Pharaoh initially appears very strong. They are just indestructible. There is nothing that you can do to the Pharaoh. But Malcolm X said it so beautifully. And by the way, it's Black History Month. Okay? So Malcolm X said it beautifully. He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said that what oppressors do is that they don't make you look at them. They make you look at their shadow. And you know that at times, the shadow is much bigger than the actual person. But then Malcolm said, the closer you get to the monster, the smaller the monster becomes. The closer you get to the monster, the smaller the monster becomes. Decades may go by, and nothing happens, and in a week, decades may happen. And this is what we have seen. Decades went by, nothing happened. In 1 week, decades happen. So number one is, it's really possible. But do not be busy and afraid because of how big the shadow of the monster looks, but rather be motivated by the goodness of your own, what it is that you are pursuing, justice and liberty for all, not liberty for some, liberty for all. The power of numbers. I love this, the power of numbers. Numbers are beautiful. In fact, numbers in the Quran are mentioned as a ni'mah. اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم قليل مستضعفون في الأرض. Said, remember the bounty of Allah on you. You were very few in numbers and people would just take advantage of you. But then Allah increased you. Allah reminded the people of Ad. كثركم. Made you big in numbers. But what good are the numbers if the people are not there? Was beautifully said that one scholar was invited to give a speech. And when he came to give the speech, you know, the organizers really worked very hard to get as many people into, you know, for the event. So he came there, and you know, the people who attended the event were very few in numbers. So the organizers were very disappointed. So he looked at them and he looked at the organizers and he said, people, do not be disappointed by our numbers. We are not looking for numbers amongst the faithful. We are looking for faith amongst the numbers. We are not looking for numbers amongst the faithful. We are looking for faith amongst the numbers. Change never took place because the majority wanted it. Change always takes place because there was a committed minority behind it. You know? And then the whole idea of just the beautiful usage of technology. No, I don't like to say that this was a Facebook revolution. No, this revolution was the people revolution. But the people who had access to the net, had access to the social media, they really did excellent job with it. And for that, we commend them. So technology is not bad. It's what we make out of it. We can either use it or misuse it. And then this point, and I wish to spend some time on this point. Peaceful. Please pay attention to this. Peaceful opposition. Peaceful standing up for oppression. That is very important. See, you cannot be seeking a noble end with unnoble means. If we are going to seek a noble mission, then we make sure that throughout the way, all the actions that we take are noble. We cannot use the same means of the oppressor to fight the oppressor. That just makes us oppressors, but on the other side. So I love the idea that people were demonstrating in the most peaceful of ways. And they said, it's not blood that we are here for. We are willing to give our blood for this, but we are not here to spill people's blood. Subhanallah. One of the most beautiful parts of the story of Musa and Fir'aun is that Allah invites Fir'aun back. One of the missions of Musa alayhi salam is to go to Fir'aun and invite him back. Because they say that it is very easy to win over your enemy, but truly the mission ought to be to win your enemy over. Listen to this. It's very easy to win over your enemy, but truly the mission ought to be to win your enemy over. And I'm looking into what has been accomplished in 18 days. The least amount of violence taking place. And I'm just thinking, how foolish it is to be a suicide bomber. There is nothing heroic about being a suicide bomber. Wallahi, there is nothing heroic about killing innocent civilians. There is nothing heroic about wanting to bring a civilian airplane down. There is nothing heroic about that. And we should not be afraid of saying it. Not because it's PC, politically correct, or the media might be watching. No, man, because we believe it. Not only do we believe it as theology, as an ideology, but also practically speaking, we have seen it. It was not the killing that did it. It was not the bombing that did it. It was the peaceful demonstrations that we saw that really did it. And subhanAllah, the people who died, over 300 people gave their lives in this beautiful revolution. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless their souls, Ya Rabbal Alameen. What we see there is this beautiful definition of martyrdom. Martyrdom is not just about dying. It is about dying so that somebody else can live. It is about me giving my life so that I can make somebody else's life easier. And at that point, that is martyrdom. There is really nothing heroic about just going on a suicide mission and doing all the foolishness that we see around us. So like I said, we see this, applaud the people, and definitely pray for the people who at this point are pursuing justice. The people of Libya. Man, that dictator has been there forever. Wallahi, he has been in power longer than I have been in this world. And I am old. And it is really time for all the thugs to go. They really need to go. However, and I promise you, this is my final thought here. They say that revolution does not end when we get rid of the dictator. True revolution begins when we get rid of the dictator. What is going to become of us? Who are we going to become? Mission accomplished. Part of the mission has been accomplished. We got rid of them. But now the question is, what is going to become of us? This was something that the Africans used to say. You know, they would fight to liberate themselves from the colonization of the Europeans, wicked colonization of the Europeans, where they did nothing but absolutely depleted the resources of the Africans. They would say that true revolution does not end when the colonizer leaves. True revolution truly begins when the colonizer has left. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep strengthening the people of Egypt, give them the wisdom that goes to the people of Tunisia as well, empower the people of Libya, empower the people who are working in bringing about justice and getting rid of the injustice. جزاكم الله خير هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وأطهر المرسلين شفيع المذنبين وحبيب رب العالمين محمد صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the most merciful. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We bear witness that no one is worthy of worship but Allah. And we bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is indeed his final messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah make us of those who listen to the best of speech, the book of Allah, and follow the best of guidance, the guidance of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I begin by greeting my brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace and the blessings and the mercy of Allah be upon you, be upon your families. Like also to start by praying for the people who have put this conference together, the volunteers who are working outside Zamal Khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them best. And I think that as our topic is about justice, it is very appropriate that we begin this evening by commending, acknowledging, congratulating, and complimenting the people of Tunisia and the people of Egypt. That is very important. Because what has happened is these people have inspired us. They have revived hope in us. That when people get up, when people truly stand up, they are unstoppable. And for this, appreciate and pray for the people of Tunisia, the people of Egypt, and definitely before that, the people of Gaza who taught us what it means to stand up. And like Sheikh Hassan said earlier, keeping also in our prayers other people who are standing up for justice, be it the people of Libya, the people of Yemen, be it the people in Ecuador, be it wherever they may be. If people are oppressed, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the strength to stand up. Ya Rabbil Alameen. And it is no coincidence that the most repeated story in the Quran is the story of Musa alayhi salam. A figure like Fir'aun is mentioned 73 times in the Quran, in 72 different surahs, mostly Meccan surahs. Because Fir'aun is not just a historical figure, Fir'aun is an everyday figure. But people need to look into the teachings and actions of Musa alayhi salam so that we are able to stand up for all the pharaohs who may come our way. And without justice, we cannot really have a civilization or a civilized society. That is why the Quran, in its approach to talking about justice, the Quran takes a very unique style in talking about it. For example, the Quran begins introducing justice as one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah himself, one of his attributes is that he is just. شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah bears witness. The angels bear witness. Those who are endowed with knowledge and insight, they all bear witness that Allah stands firmly for justice. يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي. O my servant, I have declared it illegal upon myself that I be unjust to you. وَجَعَلْتُهُ بَيْنَكُمْ مُحَرَّمًا. And I have declared it illegal amongst yourself. فَلَا تَظَالَمُوا. Therefore, do not oppress one another. Oppression is wicked. Oppression is evil. Oppression destroys societies. Oppression destroys families as well. But keep in mind that when we speak about oppression, political oppression is only one kind of oppression. Domestic violence is a kind of oppression. Elder abuse is a kind of oppression. Child abuse is a kind of oppression. Police brutality is a kind of oppression. So when we speak of oppression, don't just go to the pharaohs up there. Like Napoleon said that most of the people who despise oppression, if they get the chance, they themselves will be the oppressors. The people who despise oppression, if they get the chance, they themselves will end up oppressing other people. So when we speak of oppression, we're not talking just this limited political oppression. We're talking about all kinds of oppression. Police brutality. Public Enemy had a song. Don't ask me how do I know this. They have a song back in the 1980s when rap music first started. You know, rap music back then actually had a vision, had a style, unlike what we see nowadays. So Public Enemy, one of the reasons why they were singing, their lyrics had to do with police brutality. And in one of their songs, they would say, talking to the police officers, they said, "You protect us from the criminals, but who's going to protect us from you? You go to the police for protection, but what happens when the police are the thugs? What happens when the police are the gangsters? Where do you go at that point?" So oppression creates chaos, resentment, anger, discontentment. So Allah begins by saying, "People, I have made it illegal upon..." It is so bad that I have declared it illegal upon myself, and I am declaring it to be illegal amongst you people. When the companions came from Abyssinia, from Habasha, that's my hometown by the way, the Prophet, peace be upon him, gathered his companions. And he said, "You know, why don't you tell me about the amazing, strange things that you have seen in Habasha, in that part of the world?" And this companion said, "O Prophet of Allah, one day I was sitting and I saw this incident. An old woman that was carrying her belongings on her head. And she was struggling with it and she was walking by. When a young man riding a horse came next to her, and for the sake of fun, he tipped over whatever it is that she was carrying. She fell down, and everything that she was carrying fell down as well, and he was laughing. She got up, and she looked at him, and she said, 'Ya Lukka,' ستعلم غدا إذا جلس الملك على كرسيه فيأخذ للمظلوم من الظالم." She said, "Oh, you jerk! Tomorrow when the Almighty sits on his throne to avenge the oppressed from the oppressor, you will see what will happen between us." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so moved by the statement of that woman. And he said, "La quddisat umma." He said that no society can ever grow, can ever nourish, can ever come up, لا يأخذ فيها الضعيف حقه من القوي غير متعتع. Said that no society can flourish when the weak amongst them are too afraid of asking for any of their rights from the elites. Said that society will not flourish. And this is what we see nowadays. A lot of elites who are in charge of the affairs of the masses, where the masses have no say, they are led by these self-serving interest elites who are absolutely good for nothing but spreading corruption. Such a society is not worthy of taqdis. It's not worthy of nourishment, flourishment, or coming up. Second style that the Quran takes is, the Quran emphasizes that one of the reasons why Allah sent messengers is that so that people would uphold justice. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابِ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. So that we have sent our messengers with clear signs and the book so that people may uphold justice. Why did Allah send Musa alayhi salam? So that people may learn about justice. Why did Allah send Isa, Muhammad, Joseph, Jacob, any of the messengers? So that people may uphold justice. Because justice, you know, when people speak about liberty and justice and the pursuit of happiness, Islamically speaking, there is nothing wrong with these statements. But what happens is, these statements sound very good. And it's not in the sound of the statement where goodness is. Goodness truly is in the application of that statement. So the Quran does not look for these flowery statements, self-congratulatory statements that societies make about themselves, but rather it looks into the application of what it is that these societies make out of what is being sent. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent so that people may uphold justice. Anytime there is injustice, Islam cannot be there. Misunderstanding of what we think Islam is. But anytime injustice exists, it can never be done in the name of Islam. But remember this, my brothers and sisters, that in order for us to exploit, which is a major disease that is taking place nowadays in the world, with all the foreign debts that, you know, third world countries have. And there is a great book out there I would really, really love for you to read, written by a man named John Perkins, Confessions of an Ex-Economic Hitman, where his job was to get third world countries in debts that they knew that they cannot afford to pay back. And what you do at that point is that you get a hold of people, because now they are under your control. They cannot afford the debt, so they start making concessions. And that is why, subhanallah, in the hadith that is reported by Tabarani, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, أَقِلَّ مِنَ الدَّيْنِ تَعِشْ حُرَّ. Borrow less, you live a free man. You know, nowadays, with the plastic money that we have, just go left and right, we buy stuff. I love that definition of the credit card, when somebody said a credit card is nothing but a tool by which we buy things we don't need, with money we don't have, at a price we can't afford, to impress people we don't even like. Okay. So this idea about exploiting people, and you can be very civilized about it, you know, very slick about it, and but by the end of the day, it really is injustice, no matter what we call it. Third style that the Quran uses, Quran emphasizes that justice is an absolute value. Let me explain. Absolute value means that there is no example where it is okay not to render that value. For example, being truthful, never lying, that is a value, but it is not necessarily an absolute value, because there are remote conditions where lying might be okay. But when it comes to justice, the Quran affirms that justice is an absolute value. There is never an exception to it. See, what happens is that when things are good, you know, as they say, being good to those who are good to you does not make you good. Laughing when you are tickled does not make you funny or a fun person. All of that does not make you that. Being just when everything is okay does not make you just. Truly, our justice is tested in two circumstances. When we are moved by emotions and motives, either the emotion of hate or the motive of love. So Allah said, wait a minute. You uphold justice no matter what. Even if it be in favor of your enemies, you uphold justice. You uphold justice, وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ, even if it be against your own self, because justice is an absolute value. You uphold justice even if it is not in the benefit of those who are closest to you, be they their family members, your loved ones, the cronies who hang around, none of that. Justice is an absolute value. It must be rendered even if it be in the benefit of your enemies. You render justice. Justice is an absolute value. And then, believers are called to it. Believers are invited in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, or you who believe. And the minute you hear that, it means pay attention. If you claim to be one of them, then you better pay attention to what happens next. What is going next? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us. كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ, said, stand up for justice, shuhada lillah, as witnesses for Allah. Stand up for justice. The believers are invited. Sometimes we are guilty of what we call group selfishness. Because selfishness may just be something that concerns me, especially in this culture that we are living in. There is a great book I think you will enjoy out there. It's called The Epidemic of Narcissism. And that is said that the way that the culture is nowadays, it is just breeding and growing a lot of people who are narcissistic. People who are self-centered. They only care about me, myself, and I. So what happens is, now there is this idea of group selfishness. As a group, as long as, look, it doesn't have to do anything with the Muslims, then alhamdulillah, it's none of our business. That is not acceptable, my brothers and sisters. That is not acceptable. And we have a tendency to do that. Police brutality. African Americans have been suffering from police brutality and nobody spoke about it. Because we think that, look, as long as it's not us, that's fine. Mexican Americans, people from Haiti have been suffering from discrimination when it comes to immigration. Look, as long as it's not us, we really don't care. But now the minute you see that, you know, the Muslims are the ones who are suffering from this, now we are all up in arms, and how come this and how come that? No, how come we did not speak up when other people were suffering from it, is really the question. So when Allah invites the believers, it does not say stand up for justice when it's in the benefit of the believers. No, it's stand up for justice, period. Wherever it is happening, stand up for justice. But then see, brothers and sisters, we can talk all these sweet things about justice and what the Quran said about justice, but it will be very difficult to continue on without really defining what justice is. It was beautifully defined by a theologian by the name of Al-Farabi. And Farabi argued that justice is the ethics of sharing. It is the ethics of sharing. And he argues that no good is good if it's only good for you. The goodest of goods, the best of goods are shared goods. What good is your health if people around you are not healthy? It further enhances your health that the people around you be healthy. So it's not good to just be healthy yourself. It enhances your own health that you make sure that the people around you are healthy. What good is your freedom to express yourself? Share your ideas. If the people around you cannot express themselves or share their ideas. Because when people talk and share their ideas broaden our horizon, increases our understanding, deepens the depth of our wisdom and intellectual ability. We are intellectually tickled when we hear people's other people's ideas. So he said, no good is good if it's only good for you. What good is your wealth if people around you do not have wealth to be sharing with you? Because we have all got this erroneous mentality that says, in order for me to win, somebody else has to lose. In order for me to gain, somebody else has to lose. And that is a sick mentality. So he said that it is really the ethics of sharing. And very quickly, what are we supposed to share? It is emphasized that we have to share five things. Sharing them would lead into the implementation of justice. Number one, we have to share status. Social status. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we all have to be first-class citizens or this. No. What we mean by social status is that the acknowledgement that every human being is the holder of human dignity and integrity unconditionally. Brothers and sisters, this is very deep. To actually develop the understanding that every single human being is unconditionally, he is inherently, by the mere fact that he is a human being, he is immediately a holder of human dignity and integrity. The Quran says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have indeed honored all the children of Adam, no exception. And when we say no exception, no exception. Allah did not only honor the Muslims or the Arabs or the men or the whites or the rich or the young or the old. Allah honored all the children of Adam. honored all the children of Adam, absolutely no exception. The people that you hate most, they've been honored by Allah. You hate their deeds, you hate what they do, but never forget, if the title Bani Adam, a child of Adam, applies to them, then they are immediately holders of human dignity and integrity. And subhanAllah, because of this, you know, the Quran does not appreciate this whole idea of the original sin. And the original sin is believed, you know, in non-Muslims' beliefs, theology, the original sin resides in the being of the individual. There is nothing that you can do to get rid of that original sin. And that is why you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order for you to get rid of that original sin. And Islam says, wait a minute. Number one, sins are not inherited. They can only be committed by the individual. Number two, this is really beautiful. Islam says that sins do not taint our being. Sins taint our character. Our character is of our own choosing, but our being is from Allah, and that being from Allah is always pure. This is beautiful. This is our deen. Allah to be taught. Look, man, Muslims, non-Muslims, every human being, قَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. And that's why we hear this beautiful story. Ali ibn Abi Talib hears somebody, you know, verbally abusing somebody else. And Ali was just really just annoyed by the verbal abuse that was taking place. So Ali spoke to him and he said, يَا هَذَا إِنَّهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا فَإِنَّهُ نَظِيرُكَ فِي الْخَلْقِ. He said, my brother, he may not be a Muslim, but he is your equal in humanity. He is your equal in humanity. When it comes to that, nobody is superior or inferior to anybody else. So we have to share status. Not look down upon women, not look down upon those who have got different pigmentations from us or because they have less money than we do. And this is where we really need to be honest, my brothers and sisters. Within our Muslim culture, some of us are sexist. Some of us are racist. And we have to acknowledge this. Not that we approve of it, but we say, look man, this is in our society and it really does not belong there. People go to Hajj and they come back. Say, ask them, how was Hajj? Man, Hajj was tight. I saw people from all walks of life. I saw black people, red people, you know, yellow people, green people. And they come back and they're still racist. They go there, appeared like we were all celebrating our diversity. You go as a racist, you come back and you're still a racist. And then you come back, man, Hajj was tight. Not your Hajj. Or people would go, so what was the most difficult? Man, going between Safa and Marwa, man, that was tough, man. It took the longest time, it was the most tiring. So your Hajj was the commemoration of something that a woman did. It was the most tiring for you. It was the most difficult and it was most time consuming. You were sexist before you went to Hajj. You went there and the most difficult part was imitating a woman. You come back and you're still sexist. Then you say, man, Hajj was tight. So this idea of sharing status. And subhanAllah, that is why before we exploit people, what we have to do is that we have to dehumanize them. See, we human beings are funny people. We're all people. That's very redundant. But we humans can be very funny sometimes. In order for us to, when we are exploiting other people, there's got to be some process that we have to take. And we have to do something about this status. We have to make sure that these people do not share a status with us. So what we do is that we dehumanize them. We deem them to be less humans than we are. And the easiest thing to do to dehumanize people is to give them a label. Put a label on them. Call them niggers. And that is the end of the story. Call them Gentiles. That's the end of the story. Call them infidels. That's the end of the story. Call them kafirs. And that's the end of the story. So you take this label, you dehumanize the people, and then you make it morally okay for you to exploit the people. When Europeans first came to North America, Howard Zinn tells this story in his book. He said that a group of, you know, Europeans were discussing amongst themselves. Because when they came in, they had to deal with the... It was okay for them to kill the Indians or the natives. But then they had a problem with the children. They were not sure what to do with the children. Because they were arguing. Do these children have... do they have a soul or do they not have a soul? And they finally said that they do have a soul. So they must be worthy of baptism. So they've got to be baptized. And the argument was, should we baptize them or not baptize them? So they finally decided that they were going to hold the babies with their feet, dip them in the water, baptize them, take them, throw them against the wall or throw them against the tree and kill them. But at least we baptize them before we kill them. A process of dehumanization. You deem them to be less humans than you are. That is why they said, the West does not have a problem with human rights violations. I don't believe that. The West, mashallah, they're very good when it comes to human rights violations. The problem is not with their human rights violations. The problem is in whom they define to be human. Once you are admitted to be human, then you cannot be violated. But the problem is, do you really see me as your equal? So in order for us to truly uphold justice, this idea must really be ingrained in us that every single human being is always a holder of human dignity and integrity, brothers and sisters, no exception. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. There is no exception. Second thing that we have to share is that we have to share wealth. If you believe that I am a holder of human dignity and integrity, you must work in providing me a life that really reflects your belief that I am a holder of human dignity and integrity. Wealth, money. Money talks, money kills. Money, man. People were just after money, left and right. All wars are economic, motivated by greed. The idea of increasing my share at the expense of somebody else's share. That's what's leading to wickedness. When people can sit on piles of gold and other people are dying. Remember, this speech was delivered by somebody. He came in. He said, by the way, every three seconds, there is a baby dying in the world because of starvation or starvation-related diseases. And then what that person did was he went like that. A baby died. Well, let's do it again. Another baby died. Well, this is how quick it's happening. By the time that we are done, many babies that need not to die will be dying. Not because there isn't enough for us, but there is so much greed that is going on that it leaves very little for the rest of us. How do we explain that the U.S. hosting 5% of the total population of the world, yet spending 50% of what other people spend on military equipment? How do you make sense of that? How do you make sense of that? Why is it that 20% of the people of the world enjoy 86% of the resources of the world? I was watching TV last night. I was watching the news about poverty in Egypt. And they said that some people who sell fruits, the guy who is selling the fruits cannot even afford to taste his own fruit because it's that expensive. Wallahi, some people in the Philippines, they grow fruits. They themselves, the guy is putting his sweat and day and time and effort and labor in it. They cannot take some of that fruit to their own families. Because what has happened is that a group of elites, corporations, the Halliburtons, the Pactels, all these big corporations, they've decided that they want to make more money at the expense of the little people. So wealth must be shared. Number three, power has to be shared. Having a say in your destiny, having your voice be heard. What good is it that you believe that I am a holder of human dignity and integrity, but I have to keep my mouth shut. What good is it? The people who are revolting nowadays in Egypt, in Libya, in Algeria, in all these places, what is it that they're saying? Yeah, some of them are revolting because just the oppression, man. Why would you be ruling for so long? What makes you so unique, so different, so special? That you think that there is nobody else to do what you're doing. But subhanallah, subhanallah, you know what they say, that if you look into the psychology of Fir'aun in the Quran, one thing that you will see very clear about him is the narcissism in this person. That these people are just so self-centered, so big, admiring their own selves. When he says, "Ana rabbukum al-a'la," I am indeed the highest deity that you have. I'm your Lord, he would say. I only want you to see what I see. And you know, when you look into the story of somebody like Zain al-Abidin, because see, dictators never learn. Dictators, the one that passed away, the ones that will inshallah pass away, inshallah, inshallah, very soon in our lifetime, ya Rabbal Alameen. Say Ameen, don't laugh, say Ameen. We want them gone. Okay? This man, they've seen Ceausescu before them, didn't learn. They saw Carlos, they did not learn. They saw Noriega, they did not learn. They see all these people around them and they don't get it. It was, subhanAllah, Zain al-Abidin, the guy from Tunisia, you know, he's been serving his masters in France for so long. His plane takes off and he goes, "Can I land?" "No, you can't. You're too toxic. Nobody wants to come close to you." The guy kept begging. He's up, suspended up there. He's begging, "Can I please land?" And people said, "No." One place, he was running out of gas. They said, "Well, you can come in, get gas and, you know, get out." This is the guy that thought that he had it all. Now, this idea of power. They love this, you know, power and the ability to control everything. Everything. Their dreams, their aspirations. That is wicked. Four, got to share environment. Look, man, this whole planet Earth belongs to all of us. It's all of us. Yes, we may be ethnically related to one place, geographically being born in one place, but by the end of the day, it is all ours. That we love it and we be loved by it. Love that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Inna hadhihi al-ard ummukum farhamuha," that this earth is your mother, be good to it. And that leads us into that final point, and that is sharing responsibility. We cannot just expect others to do without us wanting to participate, wanting to contribute. And what better ways, means of contributing than contributing to the encouragement of justice? We want to do that, brothers and sisters. Let us make sure that wherever justice is, that we take an active role in participating in that, encouraging justice, maximizing justice. Please do so. Let us volunteer. Let us donate blood. Volunteer at the soup kitchens. Volunteer at the homeless shelters. Let's just be the big brother. Maybe you can tutor. Maybe you can help recent immigrants who come to this country and they have no means of getting around. That is all part of facilitating for justice. That is how we manifest that we really believe that everybody around me is a holder of human dignity and integrity. That is how we do it. Let me tell you, inshallah, in conclusion, what the people of Egypt have taught me and taught all of us. Number one, Pharaoh appears very strong. The Pharaoh initially appears very strong. They are just indestructible. There is nothing that you can do to the Pharaoh. But Malcolm X said it so beautifully. And by the way, it's Black History Month. Okay? So Malcolm X said it beautifully. He said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said that what oppressors do is that they don't make you look at them. They make you look at their shadow. And you know that at times, the shadow is much bigger than the actual person. But then Malcolm said, the closer you get to the monster, the smaller the monster becomes. The closer you get to the monster, the smaller the monster becomes. Decades may go by, and nothing happens, and in a week, decades may happen. And this is what we have seen. Decades went by, nothing happened. In 1 week, decades happen. So number one is, it's really possible. But do not be busy and afraid because of how big the shadow of the monster looks, but rather be motivated by the goodness of your own, what it is that you are pursuing, justice and liberty for all, not liberty for some, liberty for all. The power of numbers. I love this, the power of numbers. Numbers are beautiful. In fact, numbers in the Quran are mentioned as a ni'mah. اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم قليلا مستضعفون في الأرض. Said, remember the bounty of Allah on you. You were very few in numbers and people would just take advantage of you. But then Allah increased you. Allah reminded the people of Ad. كثركم. Made you big in numbers. But what good are the numbers if the people are not there? Was beautifully said that one scholar was invited to give a speech. And when he came to give the speech, you know, the organizers really worked very hard to get as many people into, you know, for the event. So he came there, and you know, the people who attended the event were very few in numbers. So the organizers were very disappointed. So he looked at them and he looked at the organizers and he said, people, do not be disappointed by our numbers. We are not looking for numbers amongst the faithful. We are looking for faith amongst the numbers. We are not looking for numbers amongst the faithful. We are looking for faith amongst the numbers. Change never took place because the majority wanted it. Change always takes place because there was a committed minority behind it. You know? And then the whole idea of just the beautiful usage of technology. No, I don't like to say that this was a Facebook revolution. No, this revolution was the people revolution. But the people who had access to the net, had access to the social media, they really did excellent job with it. And for that, we commend them. So technology is not bad. It's what we make out of it. We can either use it or misuse it. And then this point, and I wish to spend some time on this point. Peaceful. Please pay attention to this. Peaceful opposition. Peaceful standing up for oppression. That is very important. See, you cannot be seeking a noble end with unnoble means. If we are going to seek a noble mission, then we make sure that throughout the way, all the actions that we take are noble. We cannot use the same means of the oppressor to fight the oppressor. That just makes us oppressors, but on the other side. So I love the idea that people were demonstrating in the most peaceful of ways. And they said, it's not blood that we are here for. We are willing to give our blood for this, but we are not here to spill people's blood. Subhanallah, one of the most beautiful parts of the story of Musa and Fir'aun is that Allah invites Fir'aun back. One of the missions of Musa alayhi salam is to go to Fir'aun and invite him back. Because they say that it is very easy to win over your enemy, but truly the mission ought to be to win your enemy over. Listen to this. It's very easy to win over your enemy, but truly the mission ought to be to win your enemy over. And I'm looking into what has been accomplished. In 18 days, the least amount of violence taking place. And I'm just thinking, how foolish it is to be a suicide bomber. There is nothing heroic about being a suicide bomber. Wallahi, there is nothing heroic about killing innocent civilians. There is nothing heroic about wanting to bring a civilian airplane down. There is nothing heroic about that. And we should not be afraid of saying it. Not because it's PC, politically correct, or the media might be watching. No, man, because we believe it. Not only do we believe it as theology, as an ideology, but also practically speaking, we have seen it. It was not the killing that did it. It was not the bombing that did it. It was the peaceful demonstrations that we saw that really did it. And subhanAllah, the people who died, over 300 people gave their lives in this beautiful revolution. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless their souls, Ya Rabbal Alameen. What we see there is this beautiful definition of martyrdom. Martyrdom is not just about dying, it is about dying so that somebody else can live. It is about me giving my life so that I can make somebody else's life easier. And at that point, that is martyrdom. There is really nothing heroic about just going on a suicide mission and doing all the foolishness that we see around us. So like I said, we see this, applaud the people, and definitely pray for the people who at this point are pursuing justice. The people of Libya. Man, that dictator has been there forever. Wallahi, he has been in power longer than I have been in this world. And I am old. And it is really time for all the thugs to go. They really need to go. However, and I promise you, this is my final thought here. They say that revolution does not end when we get rid of the dictator. True revolution begins when we get rid of the dictator. What is going to become of us? Who are we going to become? Mission accomplished. Part of the mission has been accomplished. We got rid of them. But now the question is, what is going to become of us? This was something that the Africans used to say. You know, they would fight to liberate themselves from the colonization of the Europeans, wicked colonization of the Europeans, where they did nothing but absolutely depleted the resources of the Africans. They would say that true revolution does not end when the colonizer leaves. True revolution truly begins when the colonizer has left. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep strengthening the people of Egypt, give them the wisdom that goes to the people of Tunisia as well. Empower the people of Libya, empower the people who are working in bringing about justice and getting rid of the injustice. جزاكم الله خير هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.